It is week 5. It is a home game here at Raymond James Stadium. The weather is gorgeous. There is nothing to complain about at all. We are smack dab in the middle of the season. It's 17 games, no more in quarters. This is week number 5. Buccaneers come off a 2-game losing streak that need this win. NFC South showdown. And the Falcons are feeling good after winning 2 in a row. How are you? I'm Rock Roddy, and this is Bucks Kickoff on JoeBucksFan.com. I've been at One Buck Place all week long. I have watched. I have observed. I have asked questions. I have listened to players and coaches. I'll give you what the Falcons are saying and doing and break it all down, and I just can't wait for kickoff. I am more pumped up about this game. I just feel it. I'm feeling it. The Buccaneers were embarrassed last week. They know it. There was so much going on, and I am titling this game here, No Excuses. Nothing to complain about. You're getting healthier. It's going to be a gorgeous early Sunday game here at Raymond James Stadium. So let's go. All right, now the Falcons, they won that 2 in a row. They beat the Browns last week 23-20. They ran it, they ran it, they ran it, and they ran it some more. They ran for 202 yards. The Falcons' defense is playing with confidence. Out for this game for the Falcons, tight end Kyle Pitts, he will not play, and running back Cordarrelle Patterson, that is big for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers come in. I hope that they're pissed off. They should be pissed off. They were embarrassed last week. The defense, oh, we're one of the best defenses in the NFL. We want to be the greats. We want to get turnovers. We're confident. We're experienced. We know the system. They gave up 41 points, and they were slashed and gashed to the Kansas City Chiefs in a final score of 41-31, and the game was not that close. If you were at Raymond James Stadium, we were sitting in the press box. It was just, it looked bad. And there's glass, you know, big glass windows, so we really can't hear. But for those that were in the stands were telling me that the PA, the system was down for a lot of the game, and it was just dead. It was just, All right, who is out in this game for the Buccaneers? Tight end Cam Brate had the concussion. Saw him at practice. He was out there, you know, stretching and warming up and going, you know, with the team, but especially what's happening now and after the Tua situation, the Colts player on Thursday night, you're not going to take any chances. But anyway, Cameron Brate is out. Defensive lineman Akeem Hicks again with that foot, he's out. And safety Logan Ryan is out for this game. Everybody else is a go for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, it's time now to start getting on a roll. Who are you? There's no, you know, it's not like it's early in the year. Now is the time. And this has been, it's just been a crazy from the off season to now, you know, go figure. You know, Bruce Arians, you know, Brady retired. And then he was excited about Gabbard and Trask. I was there with the Joes at the NFL Combine and, you know, and you should hear him. No, I'm excited about Trask. No, and Gabbard and this and that. And then all of a sudden, Brady comes back and Arians retires as a coach. And then they give him a job as consultant. He'll stay on. And then the injuries mounting up at the wide receiver position. You know, that was supposed to be, so big. And that's why we got rid of Tyler Johnson, and he just didn't play special teams. And now they were hurting, and they get Cole Beasley off the street. And then this week we find out Cole Beasley retires. And then reportedly OBJ is visiting the Buccaneers. But even if he wouldn't be ready for Thanksgiving, and the Brady with the divorce news and lawyers and down in Miami and Giselle, and he hadn't looked good and all that. Well, you know what? He's looked good not only in practice, but he seems to be in a pretty much better mood when he talks to us on Thursdays, and he's been looking good out there with the arm and the shoulder. I was there for all the practices this week, even the day that he supposedly was not going to practice, and he started throwing anyway. I'll get into all of that with my Under the Rock segment on what I have seen. But anyway, but now's the time. All right, yeah, there's been all of this. You know, life is never perfect. okay? But now, going forward, you've got the talent. The Buccaneers are loaded with a lot of talent. That wasn't a fluke on what they have done the last 2 years. So now, starting today in this game, it's time to start, you know, stacking them up. Start playing well. Playing, you know, complimentary football. No excuses. That's what I'm going to keep harping on in this. All right, so Brady comes out on, it was Wednesday, and he was supposedly not practicing. That's what it was on the official report by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that they give to the NFL, not practicing. Well, I notice right before our media availability is going to end, here comes Brady. He's done this before. He's got the shorts, he's got the cleats, but he's just got his T-shirt, the Bucs T-shirt, but he doesn't have the Bucs jersey. So he's out, he's watching. And he's done this before. Did this on the other Wednesday when he was pregnant. And he looks down. There's the ball. And he picks it up. And he starts throwing. And then he's throwing. And he's throwing it on a line. Now, part of it, I'm assuming, was testing out that bruised shoulder that he got in this last game. And number two is, I don't think that he can just sit on the days that he's not supposed to practice or he's listed as not practicing. If he's out there and he sees a football, I've seen him do this, he picks it up and he starts throwing. And he looked fine. The ball was coming out clean, the motion, everything. And then Thursday, he was fine. He practiced again, obviously, on Friday. They were pumping in the crowd noise on Thursday and Friday. I went on Friday. Oh, my God, it was loud. They're expecting. I don't know what they're expecting. A lot of Falcons fans, doesn't matter. Even I've noticed this since last year. Because we were in a trailer, and it was right next to the fence with the COVID and everything. And every time I came out of that trailer, every home game, as well as they're going to play an away game, they pumped in the crowd noise. That's just what they do for every single game. But, I don't want to go too much on last week. I'm going on right now. So Brady was throwing, and he was asked about the shoulder. He said, it feels great. Now, whether or not it's great, it feels great. Then I asked him about the NFL with the parity because I was working out at the gym the other day and I saw a stat on how many teams are 2-2 in the NFL. I think it's like the most since going back quite a few years. So I asked Brady about, you know, you've been around a long time, Tom, with the parity. Do you notice more parity now? There's a lot of 2-2 teams. And he's like, I'm noticing bad football. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing, just bad football. And then that was on Thursday during the day. And lo and behold, Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime was one of the worst games that I've ever seen. And it was bad football. So Brady is on to something. But oh my God, around the country, around the world, those that don't like Brady. Oh, is Brady watching his own team? Is Brady watching himself? Oh, this guy's get off my lawn. It's time to retire, blah, blah, blah. I'm hoping that he doesn't immerse himself in all that. But anyway, it was kind of ironic where he said it was bad, bad, bad football. And then, you know, and that I will say this one last thing. The Russell Wilson, what's going on? For any of you that are thinking, and I can't imagine your diehard Buccaneer fan that's listening to this Bucs Kickoff podcast on Joe Bucs Fan would rather Brady have retired. Look at what's going on with Russ Wilson. What happened? It's so rare. And every player that I and we in the media have talked to this year, coaches as well, just marvel at what did Leftwich say this week? It would be really something to just marvel at what Brady is doing numbers-wise, competing, still at the top of his game, if he was 26 years old, let alone 45 years old. It's crazy. So if you think that, like, oh, you start like, oh, maybe it would have been better off Brady retiring, go look at Russ Wilson. Look at what happened. And he's so corny. Did you see the end of it? I don't know if you noticed, but he, at the end of his press conference after Thursday night's game, he still went, Bronco country. Let's ride. He is a corny, corny, corny mofo. All right, so the Buccaneers, you know, they started. This is a season. It's been hard to figure out. I get it. Two road games. You're starting off in Dallas. against Dak Prescott and Dallas, and they win. Oh, then you got to go to New Orleans. Ooh, that's a hostile place. New Orleans has their number. Regular season, Brady can't beat them, and they win. And then they come back for the two home games, and they lose to the Packers, and they were throttled against the Kansas City Chiefs last week. But here's a stat that I'm going to throw out to you to just keep this in your back of your noggin. Since Brady has come to the Bucs, the Buccaneers have never lost three games in a row. That is regular season and postseason. Since Brady has shown up, since Brady has come here to that Carol Wood Day High School in the morning and got everybody together, that seems like a long time ago now, right? Since then, this winning the Super Bowl and everything last year and still going far, and now that Brady and the Buccaneers have never lost three games in a row. And one more last one for you, just kind of a crazy little stat. Do you know the last time that the Buccaneers faced Marcus Mariota, quarterback of the Falcons? It was, do you remember? It was his first NFL game, regular season, 2015. Wow, that is 7 years ago now. It was against Jameis at Ray J. It was the number one, number two pick in the draft, and the Falcons won that game. Jameis was bad. Falcons won it 42-14. But look, Brady is having all of his weapons back, except Cam Bray. The defense is without safety Logan Ryan. And Logan Ryan does play. I broke it down. It's between 60 and like 70% of his snaps. So look for the Bucs to use Keanu Neal a lot in this game in place of Logan Ryan. And he is your thumper. He is your hard hitter, very physical, and especially with the Falcons playing with that rushing attack. And that is what they plan on doing, and they do it very, very well. It's not only their running backs, it's their whole blocking scheme. All right, before we go any further, let me tell you about my favorite place to get myself the best burger anywhere in the country. Four locations here in the Tampa Bay area. I'm talking about Burger Monger. Not only their Chop House burgers, but their delicious, creamy Barstool shakes. Carrollwood, St. Pete, Safety Harbor, and Wesley Chapel. It's over a third of a pound of ground chuck and sirloin beef, and it's hand-pressed on the grill to just a perfect char, maximum flavor. You got a variety of cheeses and toppings and sauces, or if you can't even make up your mind, hey, Burger Monger has a delicious house-crafted recipe burger and burgers that they put through the lab to give you just the greatest taste. And you got to go with the shake. Go ahead, go for it, man. All-natural, hand-scooped ice cream. Hand-spun, thick and creamy, and they top it off with whipped cream and a bunch of toppings. What flavors, do you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Very vanilla, simply strawberry, chocolate fudge, cookies and cream, caramel craves, and Snicker Supreme. That's what I'm going to try Monday, tomorrow, this weekend. Weekday. All right, now the best kept secret is the Burger Monger Amazing Chicken Sandwich. Sandwiches. Large marinated chicken breast. You can get it grilled, you can get it fresh breaded, or you can get it deep fried to order. And then they've got the sides, the natural cut fries, the sweet potato waffle fries, the house made hand battered onion rings. And with this Buccaneer season, they're offering it right now. Limited time only. It is their LFG Let's Frickin' Go Burger. It's really two burgers in one. It's a burger stack with two patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, provolone, applewood smoked bacon, and fresh avocado slices. And they finish it off. Like when you get in the red zone, they want to score. Burger Monger scores, finishing off this LFG burger with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is a winner, and it's only $12. Let's fucking go. All righty. Obvious. I got a little segment here I thought about. Obvious Rock. Obvious. But maybe you haven't thought about it, but it's obvious. The Buccaneers have not been balanced on offense. They have not been able to run it well since that opening game against the Dallas Cowgirls. The Buccaneers defense got run on by the Chiefs last week. And, you know, Buccaneer defensive players have told us for the last couple of years, when you get run on, these opposing they take pride. When Richard Sherman came here last year, he said that's the number one thing that first day when he was in that locker room talking to them, they pride themselves on stopping the run, Bucs defenders. They've said when a team runs on you, it takes away your will. It takes away your soul. When you cannot stop the run, you lose your soul. And you know what? The Buccaneers defense lost their soul. So you got it. Let's go. I do not see that happening 2 weeks in a row. Akeem Hicks was hurt. Rookie Logan Hall was, banged up on a third. Helaire, the touchdown. Vita Vea was just driven backwards. You do not get driven backwards. But it happened last week. And I'm telling you, going around that locker room, the Buccaneer defense, were embarrassed. So I am expecting them to play tough and strong and not get pushed backwards in this game. The news with Brady, I don't know how he does it. I don't know about you. I've been divorced and with a child, and it's brutal. And I can't imagine my marital problems in the past being out there on the world stage. But Ira Sage asked it in a really good way on Thursday, and Brady was just very calm and kind of blew him off. Like, Tom, he didn't come out and say what could it be weighing on you, this, constant scrutiny and news. And he's just like, no, it's just everybody's got things going on. Whether or not that's true, but he seems fine when he's on the field. It drives me crazy when people that are not from around here and they think that, oh, he should have stayed retired. Look how bad he's doing. He's not doing that bad. He really isn't. I'll get into some numbers. And, I was working out at the gym the other day and I looked up and ESPN, the morning show was on, the Get Up show. And I actually had to laugh. First, I was like, are you kidding me? The big headline that they had, and that they were discussing, with the Rex Ryan, those guys, and Greeny, and on the panel, Bucs broken, can't come back. I'm like, are the Bucs broken? Broken? They're 2-2. It's 4 games gone. We're in week number 5. Now again, the season is going by fast. I'm not, you got to start putting it together now. This is it. There again, my title for this one: no excuses. The Bucs are still throwing it. Brady is 7th in the NFL in passing attempts, and Brady is 8th in all of the NFL in total yards. So it's not like they're not slinging it. Buccaneers wide receivers are getting healthy. Evans feels great. We talked to him on the back patio on Friday. And that week away where he was suspended for what happened, he came off the sideline and what he did and Lattimore and all that in that Saints game. He said he got 100% healthy. Like, that was the one positive. And he balled out last week, and so he's good. Godwin said that he is okay. He's running fine. He looks fine at practice. So that's good. And Cole Beasley, retired. I don't think it's that big of a news this week. I don't. And nobody was really harping on it. And it didn't seem like, okay, yeah, he came. He was here for 2 games. He was paid minimum. He didn't get much. They needed him for depth. I really don't think that was a bad thing. He retired. Okay, fine. Russell Gage, I want to see more of Russell Gage. I'm going to touch on this just one time. Like I said, last week, they didn't want to make it an excuse. But I don't know about you, but for me, if you're a human, if you have a family, if you have kids and you got a wife, even if you don't have kids and you got a wife, hell, if you're single, when a hurricane is barreling down with a possible Cat 4 and it looks like you're in the cone of a direct hit, how does that not affect you? You're going to walk away from your home. You might leave if you relocate or you're going somewhere. You don't know if your roof's going to be gone. All your possessions are gone. Everything is gone. And I had one guy say to me, like, of course, the Buccaneers, they should make it an excuse. Hell, he lives in Tampa Bay. He went to Sarasota with his wife and his dog and his kid, and the stress on him was unbelievable. He didn't have to play a football game. Nacho, when we went in that locker room after the game on Sunday, he was kind of going off. He was being egged on a little bit, but it was like, he didn't have enough time to recover. Like, it was hurry up. They got their stuff in order. Some drove. Most drove down to Miami. We had heard from some of the players that there was there's a lot of families. There was a lot of babies. And even at night and through the walls, you could hear babies screaming. There was a lot of dogs. Dogs were barking. Some construction going on in the team hotel. So say what you will. They are human beings. But my point is, what Brady brought it out perfectly this week on Thursday night. Last week was last week. This is this week. So there's, again, no excuses. Let's go. Todd Bowles told the team, I think it was on Monday when they got back in the building, there wasn't enough leadership at practice down in Miami. But you know what? When we heard from Brady, we heard from Mike Evans. He didn't complain about the relocating. They played fine. All right, let's go a little in-depth on the Falcons. What are the Falcons got? You know that they're 2-2. You know that they have been sucking the last couple of years, okay? Well, let's break it down. The first game they lost to the Saints, the Falcons had dominated for three quarters. And then Jameis and the Saints rallied, 51-yard Lutz field goal, and that's how the Saints won that game. But really, for the first three games, the Falcons dominated. The Falcons went RPO, run, pass, option with Mariota and Cordarrelle Patterson. But Cordarrelle Patterson is not playing in this game. A TD he hit on a pass. There was a block punt. Lorenzo Carter, a touchdown run, two-point conversion. Mariota to London, 31-25, boom. Okay, boom. And then Ramsey pick. Third game, Falcons, Seahawks. Cordarrelle Patterson, 141 yards. The Falcons were pounding it. The offensive line has been doing a hell of a job getting a big push. They sacked Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith two times. Very costly. A sack on that Seahawks last drive. Geno Smith did throw for 320, but the Falcons win it. They win it over Seattle 27-23. And then last week, they ran it, and they ran it, and they ran it some more against the Browns. They ran for over 200 yards. Now, they don't have Cordarrelle Patterson. They have Tyler Allgeier. He is averaging a little less than 9 yards. I think he's about 8.4 yards per carry. Caleb Huntley was just called up from the practice squad. He went over 5 yards per carry. They like to run it on the right side a lot. Mariota using rollouts when I was looking at it last week. These wide receiver screens. Great blocking. They do a great job with their blocking scheme. And the defense for the Falcons, they're not great, but they're not bad. They're not what they used to be. They pressured Jacoby Brissett. They were forcing him to rush throws. That's why with this Buccaneer offensive line, you don't want. Now, Brady is better than Jacoby Brissett in the pocket. But the Falcons defense, and I'm going to tell you, they're much improved from last year. Four games, what have they done? 8 sacks, 15 tackles for loss, 22 quarterback hits. Their stud is Grady Jarrett. Not Grady Judd. Grady Jarrett, their defensive tackle. He is quick. He is relentless in getting to the quarterback. they're moving him. In this last game, he was sometimes using the, he was in the five technique. They're kicking him outside. He had two big sacks in crunch time. So without Cordarrelle Patterson, who is really a three-way threat, besides rushing it, he's out of the backfield, also on the special teams. Here's what they're going to do in this game. You're going to have Algier. You're going to have Caleb Hundley. And the offensive line is for the Falcons is going to come out physical. So let's go, Vita Vea. Let's go, Golston. Let's go, Buccaneers defensive front. Man up in this game. Algier is explosive. Huntley is a downhill runner. And then they're also bringing in this Avery Williams. He's not bad. But Caleb Huntley didn't even know that he was going to be moved up from the practice squad until the day before. And from what I was told, Cordarrelle Patterson went over to him and said, "Hey, man, you got to step up. You step up in this game tomorrow." And for him to do what he did, he's got some talent. So don't think just because they don't have CP that they're not going to be able to run it. All right, let me give you some of the matchups. What I want to see, something for you to look at in this game. Let's start off with protecting the GOAT. The GOAT is still here. When the GOAT steps on the field, he's not thinking about Giselle and the kids and Miami and the divorce lawyers and splitting it up and all that. No, he's all about studying the opponent. He always does that, and especially since he's even got a little bit more time now. And when he steps on the field, but you got to protect him. So I'm looking at Luke Getteke, and it looks like he is going to be going up against Grady Jarrett. Grady Jarrett with 3.5 sacks, 9 quarterback pressures. They move him a little bit. So sometimes Grady Jarrett is going to be on a guard, going to be on a tackle. Most of the time, he's going to be on young Luke. And young Luke has done fairly well for being a rookie, not having played that, but no one's going to care about that. This is the NFL. Step up or you're going to be replaced, and you got to protect, and you got to run block. And your pass protection in that last game, it was looking good, and then it fell apart. And you're going up against these hell of a good tackles, but that's a matchup to watch. The Buccaneer defense against Mariota. Now, Marcus Mariota, I know there's a quarterback controversy in Atlanta. Some want Desmond Ridder because Mariota is not putting up big numbers. He's been a little inconsistent throwing the ball. He's not as bad as you may think, okay? But Desmond Ridder is not ready. All right, so let's go the sample from last week against the Browns. 7 for 19, 139 yards, and another fourth quarter fumble. Mariota turns it over. 6 fumbles, 4 have come in the fourth quarter. As a matter of fact, this blew me away, but I guess if it's not, you know, you got to do something about it. Mariota, when he was talking this week, was mentioning that, do you know how he starts out every practice? He practices the snap with center Drew Dahlman. Every single practice they work on the exchange. Now, after Mariota threw a pick last week, Arthur Smith said, "We ain't throwing it anymore." And he called 14 straight run plays. 14 in a row. What other team in the NFL does that? But here's your positives. If you're a Falcons fan, and I know there's not many listening to this Bucks Kickoff podcast, who the hell knows? The thing to watch out for, Mariota is very good avoiding sacks. He will throw it away. He doesn't get sacked much. And, you know, Mariota, he's not throwing it well. He is, per passing attempts, he's averaging just about 8 yards per passing attempt, 7.9. That's fourth in the NFL. So he's not a check down Charlie. His average air yards are 5.1 per attempt. That's eighth in the NFL. And it's Arthur Smith does a hell of a job in the play calling. He uses play action and he makes sure that Mariota is protected with max protection. So, you know, I mean, Mike Edwards versus Mariota. Mike Edwards, the safety for the Buccaneers. You've done a nice job, Mike. Keep it up. You are replacing Jordan Whitehead. I thought that that was going to be a big negative. I really did. Jordan Whitehead is a stud. But Mike Edwards has stepped up. And you're going to be put to the test with Mariota because he can confuse you. You don't know if he's going to run or he's going to pass. He's not that easy to defend. Shaq Barrett, you got to atone. I mean, where are you? Joe Tryon Shoyinka. Has his name been called? What's going on? You put on a little bit of weight. You kept your quickness. You were talking a good game. Come on, let's go Tryon Shoyinka. And Shaq Barrett, especially with that, we think we can dominate against the Chiefs' offensive line. The Chiefs, they didn't take too kindly to that. So step up. Come on, Shaq Barrett, let's go. All right? Levante David, Devin White versus this Falcons run game. You know Mariota isn't going to throw it 40 times in this game here at Ray J. They're going to pound it. So Devin White, Levante David, be on your A game. Chris Godwin. Godwin out of the snap. Boy, you noticed that difference last week, man, when he was there for Brady. Brady needs him, loves him over the middle. 83% of the snaps Godwin played last week. 7 catches, 59 yards. Going to go up against Falcons corner D. Alford. D. Alford grew up in Georgia, but he grew up a Buccaneers fan. Came from a small school, spent some time in the CFL. Harold Goodwin, the run game corner. Godwin looked fine to me at practice. He did work the time they put in with the specialists, the trainers. Both days it was Julio Jones and getting extra work. They get down. They do these stretches with their legs. They work with these bands. And also, what's his name? Kyle Rudolph. The three of them, same spot on the field. They do this on Wednesday and on Thursday. They get extra work to make sure the hammies, the knees, the legs, they're getting the best training and work that they can during the week. So Godwin should be okay. I'm looking for a nice game from Godwin, that goat to Godwin. Here's another matchup. Drake London is a stud and going to be a good one for, I believe, a long time in the NFL. He's big, 6'5", 210. He came out of USC. He, for a young kid, he leads the Falcons in catches, in yards, and in touchdowns. And he is going to go up against Jamel Dean. And again, like I said, I'm expecting this Buccaneer defense to get back to playing buck ball and not get throttled. All righty? All right. What happened? Let's just do a real quick little segment. If you were busy, maybe you didn't see what the Falcons did in their game. Just go back a little bit to the Chiefs and the Buccaneers game. I was just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The Falcons defense, do they bring it? Can they get to the quarterback? They only had one sack of Jacoby Brissett, but they also had 7 quarterback hits. They're getting the pressure. Sometimes you can't just look at the stat sheet and say, oh, they only had one sack. Oh, they weren't getting to him. No. Sometimes you get a quarterback, you hit him, you pressure him. So they did a decent job on that. They played smart football. They ran it. They only committed one penalty. And the Falcons, here's the thing, and Brady says this all the time, and it sounds like, oh, he's just like being monotone. You got to play smart football. You got to be better on third downs. You can't turn it over. I know it's like robotic, but it's freaking true. Check out this stat. In the Falcons, 2 wins, these last 2 wins, they've committed 3 penalties. In the Falcons' first 2 losses, they committed 13 penalties. Don't turn it over, and don't give up penalties. Falcons, 35 rushes last week, 202 yards, 5.8 yards per carry, the same yards per carry in the win over the Seahawks. So it wasn't like that, oh, they just did it last week. They like to run the football. The Falcons ran it 14 times in a row in the second half. Falcons head coach Arthur Smith, he said this week, when the offensive line, when they're running it like that, that's what you call. It's called being in the flow. You kind of get the feel. He's like, look, man. And when these run plays are called, it's not just the running backs. It's not just the offensive line. It's tight ends. It's wide receivers. It's chipping. It's one unit. And they were in that flow. And they do it. They pound the rock better than just about anybody in the league. The Falcons offensive line, good in pass blocking. They allowed only one sack. They've allowed just 7 sacks in 4 games. And that is another factor in being able, like I said, also being able to actually help them run it. Mariota, only the 139 yards in the game, 1 interception. They ran it 35 times and they passed 19 times. When's the last time you heard of a stat like that? They threw it. This is an NFL team in 2022. They threw it 19 times. They ran it 35 times. But Mariota is not a top-level QB in the NFL. He's good out of the pocket. He's an RPO guy. But he is not consistent with his throws, and he has been fumbling. Okay? The Buccaneers or the Falcons defense has been coming up with key stops and in big situations. So they're very deep at running back. The Tyler Allgeier had 84 yards rushing, 100 yards all purpose. Also had a 20 yard reception. Cordarrelle Patterson, who isn't in this game, oh, that's huge for the Bucs. Yeah, it is, but he only had 35 or 38 yards rushing last week. The kid, Caleb Hundley, had 56, and Avery Williams had 21. Now, real quickly, the Chiefs-Bucks game. You know what? I mean, I got everything down here. The Buck, it was bad. It was bad. And is it what? I was coming down in the elevator to go do the post game. And it's about 5 minutes to go. 5 minutes or 6 minutes to go, we can go down in the elevator from the press box. And there's a reporter that walked up next to me. And he looked over at me and we didn't say anything. And he goes, Rock, there's some days where you just don't have it. And I said, that's why it's sports. That's why this isn't WWE. It's not scripted. It's why you play the game. So you might want to look at it. You can look at it like that. Now, if they lay an egg to the Falcons, if the Falcons run it down their throat and Mariota hits for 3 TDs, it isn't just they had a bad day. But sometimes that happens. The Buccaneers defense gave up 417 total yards of offense to Kansas City. The Buccaneers defense allowed 189 yards rushing. The Buccaneer defense had only allowed an NFL low in the first 3 games. First 3 games, they gave up 27 points. They were number one. And then they gave up 41. Bowles, when he came out, I will tell you this. I don't know. I know the jury is out because he didn't do well with the Jets, and they're 2-2 right now. And, you know, but I like him. I think that the players respect him. And when he comes out, he's flat out. He was like, what was wrong in this game? He goes, everything and on defense. You name it. We did it. Missed tackles, missed opportunities, bad calls. It's on me. We were bad. Now, Brady to Mike Evans, 8 catches, 103 yards, 2 touchdown catches, and Evans feels good, and Brady has not lost 3 games in a row in a long damn time. All right, before I go any further, let me tell you one more time, you got to check out. I mean, aren't you getting, I'm hungry right now. I mean, right after this, I think I'm going to head to Burger Monger. I'm going for a big-ass burger. I might go for the LFG, the Let's Freaking Go Burger. Two patties, 12 ounces of beef. I might eat the whole damn thing. Provolone, applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices, peppercorn ranch dressing on the side. It's $12 and, you know, last time I did it, I brought some home. I didn't want to over... I'm eating the whole thing. Listen, they've got the best burgers, Chop House burgers. They're hand-pressed, okay? It's to a perfect char. It's a mixture of ground chuck and sirloin beef. Their burgers are delicious. Their toppings and sauces to die for. Their shakes, all natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun thick and creamy. And on top, you got whipped cream and a bunch of toppings. Their flavors are cookies and cream or caramel craves, chocolate fudge, simply strawberry, very vanilla, Snickers Supreme. Yeah, they've got the chicken sandwiches. You can get them grilled or fresh breaded or deep fried to order. I love their fries, the natural cut fries, the house-made hand-battered onion rings, or the sweet potato waffle fries. Best burgers, best shakes. Burger Monger. Where are they located? St. Pete, Wesley Chapel, Safety Harbor, and in Carrollwood. All righty. What they're saying in Atlanta. I told you about Arthur Smith calling those 14 straight run plays. The offensive line was opening up big holes. The Buccaneers defense cannot allow that today at home here at Raymond James. Their right tackle, Caleb McGarry, said, quote, "That's what we were wanting, hoping, and praying. Give us a chance. Let us run the ball." McGarry, that was a couple of years' worth of Christmas for us. They were loving it. They were in the flow. Don't let them run wild today. They used three running backs. 14 straight runs came after Mariota had thrown a pick. Let's get the pick. Let's get a pick early on Marcus Mariota and put them in the hole. Arthur Smith said the O-line was in a flow, so they're going to use Hundley and Algier and Avery Wilson. They've also got a fullback, Keith Smith. He does a nice job. The biggest find for the Falcons, undrafted wide receiver. He's in the slot, this Zacchaeus. 3 minutes left in the fourth, all right? They were tied with the Browns, and Mariota hit Zacchaeus for a 42-yard touchdown. He had two catches. Mariota only completed seven passes all game, but that was a big play. Don't let him get that big damn play, all right? Zacchaeus is averaging 17.5 yards per catch. He's got 10 catches, 174, and one touchdown. 70% of his catches have gone for first downs. They like to go to him when it's third down, second down. Mariota has weapons, Drake London, but no Kyle Pitts in this game. All right, let's close it on this. Just a couple of tidbits from this week. Now, the GOAT does his podcast on SiriusXM NFL Radio, the Let's Go podcast, which he does on Mondays. And that's good because it's right after a game. The adrenaline is flowing for these guys. They've just been in a battle in a huge stadium, a lot of fans. They've been battling, and they have just, they come in and this and that, whether they won or lost, and their adrenaline is going, and they just come in and they, you know, the answers that they give. But sometimes it's good to get a night if you can sleep, get some time during the day, and then later that day, the evening, you know, okay, you can kind of make sense. You know, you look at some of the film. And Brady was saying that on this podcast that we've got to be balanced. It's three games in a row now we're not running the football. It is too difficult to become one-dimensional over the course of a season. And Brady said, you can see what the Chiefs did when they had a lead. They had everything at their disposal. It's so different when you've got that lead. Changes everything. When we spoke with Tristan Wirfs at his locker inside Raymond James Stadium after that game, and we were asking him like, what's up with the run game now? What? And he's like, we seem to be getting a hat on a hat. And he said, you know what? We're still going to do our Thursday or our Friday meetings with the running backs and Brady and the line. And he said receivers even come to these meetings. That was interesting because that's what leapfrogged the running game last year when it was Leonard Fournette and Brady started talking. Let's meet after practice on Friday. And so they're doing that. They're meeting. I'm hoping they had a good meeting on Friday and just basically were like, let's get a hat on a hat and let's freaking kick ass. Let's go. Brady said that another thing that was interesting, we got to be able to play with a lead. We got to stop turning it over. You got to get ahead that allows you to run and pass. Brady also said, and this was a really good point, you can get away with pass, pass, pass for a couple of games, but you need balance to win the Super Bowl. I like that because that's Brady's mentality. Win the Super Bowl. I guarantee you the majority of these NFL players, yeah, they'll say it, oh, we want to win the Super Bowl, but I bet you they're just thinking, man, I want to get to the postseason, not the GOAT. Let me give you that quote again. This is from Brady. You can get away with pass, pass, pass for a couple of games, but you need balance to win the Super Bowl. That's what the GOAT is thinking, winning the Super Bowl. So let's use that mentality today in this game, and let's get win number 3, and you should be able to do this. So I'm leaving you with this. There are no excuses. I don't want to hear any excuses after this game. And I will be in the locker room. And, you know, follow me on my social media, Real Rock Riley. And I can't wait to talk to you next week. And just looking ahead, the schedule after this one, next week is in Pittsburgh. That's a 1:00 start against the Steelers. Then back here against the Panthers, another 1:00. Then the Buccaneers will host the Ravens. That's a Thursday night football game, 8:15. And then hosting the Rams, that's going to be a 4:25 game. And then the Buccaneers go all the way across the pond over to Munich, Germany. That'll be a 9:30 in the morning game with Sage at the greatest place to drink beer and eat is Big Storm. But anyway, let's just focus on this game. No excuses. And as Brady says, you need balance to win the Super Bowl. Enjoy the game. I'll talk to you next Sunday. It's been an honor and a pleasure to go in depth, bring you what I see all week at One Buck here on Bucks Kickoff on the baddest, best information source of Buccaneer football. That would be JoeBucksFan.com.